I am officially declaring a national emergency.
Unprecedented times call for unprecedented actions.
Starting tomorrow, NBA play is suspended.
NCAA has canceled the men's and women's basketball tournaments.
Welcome to Managing the Crisis, brought to you by Core Image Studio.
The number of Americans filing claims for unemployment benefits has hit a record high.
There are fears that the Dow will drop and drop quickly.
The media giants are under pressure from a dramatic pullback in ad spending.
Now here's your host, the president of Barrett Sports Media, Jason Barrett.
Thanks for dropping by and checking out the Managing the Crisis podcast. I am Jason Barrett. This program is made possible by our friends at Core Image Studio. If you're in the market for production needs, and you very well could be, given the recent changes in the radio industry, check them out online at coreimagestudio.com. This is episode number 12, and I thought today I'd change gears and look at the current business climate through the eyes of a successful marketer, advertiser, memorabilia expert, and relationship builder. Brandon Steiner is the president and founder of the Steiner Agency and Collectible Exchange. That's X-C-H-A-N-G-E if you're looking to find them online. He's also the original founder of Steiner Sports, a company I'm sure many of you know. It became one of the most successful sports memorabilia companies of the past few decades. If you look at the current economic landscape we're dealing with, aside from grocery stores, food delivery services, and essential businesses such as hospitals, police, fire department, and the ones we depend on for heat, electricity, and water inside our homes, many others are forced to take an immediate step back. As revenues get reduced, so too do expenses, and that's why we're seeing record numbers for unemployment. When it comes to the sports memorabilia industry, how do you create once-in-a-lifetime memorable experiences for sports fans if they can't meet their heroes? How do you take advantage of real estate inside a popular arena or stadium if it isn't open to fans? As someone who's done media work and partnered with media brands throughout his life to use their platforms to help his own company sell tickets and move products, I'm curious what advice Brandon has for media groups and other industries who find themselves faced with the reality that their profitability is going to suffer in 2020 and possibly beyond. Rather than making you wait for the answer, though, let's dive right in. He's authored 3 books, hosted his own TV show and podcast, and built Steiner Sports into a premier sports memorabilia company. He is Brandon Steiner, and he joins me on the Managing the Crisis podcast. Brandon, we'll tackle the sports business discussion in a moment, but I want to begin with this. I know you're a New Yorker, so I'm curious what these past few months have been like for you personally and professionally as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic rocking the city that never sleeps.
Well, I think any normal human being right now has a frustration, especially when you really can't control what's happening, what's going to happen. I think any kind of pain or any kind of distraction, disruption, you could tolerate if you know it's going to end. Problem with this thing is we don't know what's going to end, and it's extremely, that's what's really bothersome, and you really can't seem to get a true story about what it is we're dealing with, so that's really what gets you a little bit upended. You know, I'm just staying home because I'm not scared of this virus. I'm smart, and I think that virus is stupid, and I definitely like to stay away from stupid. You know, I've been pretty bunkered in, you know, trying to reach out to people that I normally don't have time to reach out to and try to get some peaceful time at home, which I don't usually, you know, I've been home a bunch this year actually, but not like this. And really it's, you know, I've introduced myself to the neighborhood. You know, I've walked around and I see houses that have been built that I didn't even know. I see neighbors that I didn't even know I had. So, you know, it's been actually interesting. Like, I've definitely been able to catch up and focus in on myself, and I've watched a lot of good TV, man. There's a great TV out there. You know, for the purpose of this call and all truthfulness is I always feel like, and I'm a little different, so I'm not saying that this is an easy thing to do, but sitting around feeling sorry for yourself is just not really productive. I mean, you gotta get over yourself. You gotta get off your ass. And I think I always look at some of the biggest diversity as sometimes potentially some of the biggest opportunity. And that's how I feel about it. You know, I feel like I've been really trying to work on some relationships and some new platform ideas that I normally in a typical day wouldn't do. you know, I have the time, you know, to spend with people talking through things, maybe doing the extra work that I normally wouldn't do because I couldn't account for it. And now I'm like, what am I going to do? I'll sit here. So I'll watch one last episode of The Money Heist, or I'll get to Billions later in the week. And so I'm putting in the extra time to, you know, make the extra call, think the extra idea through, work on my relationships with some people that I normally don't have an opportunity to talk to for an hour. And it's been really good.
Look, if the worst thing in the world is we have to spend more time with family and stay home rather than hit the road so much, that's not necessarily a bad thing. That being said, you started your career in the hotel business, I was reading, and I thought that was interesting because you look at hotels today, they depend on us to travel, to be there, to spend time there. If you were working with the hotel industry today, what would you be advising them short-term and long-term to be doing? Because it's got to be difficult for businesses like that to stay afloat when you're going through this.
That's a great question, man. You know, and I have thought of a lot of ideas for a lot of industries. I'll tell you two things that I really think is that, one, on the restaurant end, you know, there's just tremendous amount of pivoting that's needed, and a lot of restaurateurs, they're as hardworking a group as you ever want to see. Everybody knows the labor-intensive part of the hotel business and the restaurant business. But as a restaurateur, you must pivot, and you better pivot now. And that is cutting down on labor, changing your menu, getting into the takeout and delivery business, working on the things that those products get delivered in, changing the menu so it's more, you know, conducive for a family of four, a family of six. And you're not just serving the typical entree that you were serving 3 months ago for $25. Now you're putting it in a tin plate expecting somebody to buy that. I mean, there's only a few restaurants that can get away with that. You know, I think what families are looking for now is, you know, it's a one-stop, boom. You know, doing Facebook Lives where the chef is actually showing the special of the day, learning how to work your social media so you can send out teases and ads for something special you're doing. If you're doing some special baked goods this week, it doesn't have to be complicated. Having your chef show how the special is being made, so on your homepage you can click on and see how he made the particular salmon that day or how she made this particular pasta dish, and getting your customers involved. You know, and then even selling raw ingredients to put a meal together, and then having the chef on a Facebook Live showing the family how to go put this special meal together that this restaurant's known for. I think the restaurant business is those that can pivot will stay alive and stay alive well, especially with, you know, with Uber Eats and that kind of thing.
Yep.
And I think there's just some people that are just stuck. And there's a lot of restaurateurs that just can't get the social media stuff going. But the reality is social media was like perfect for a restaurant. Facebook, you can zone in, target, hyper-focus right on your target audience of 2 miles away without spending any excess money and only really pay for the customers that you really try to, you know, get to. Now, on the hotel end, that's a very wide and large question that is going to be difficult to answer because you have resorts, which is going to be a bigger problem.
Right.
Not only are you going to get people to come to your hotel, but you got to get them to fly. And that's pretty much not going to happen this year. So all the convention business and vacation business. On the flip side, if you got hotels in the United States, that's what I'd be concentrating on. People want to get in their car at some point when things are a little safer, which could possibly be the summer or the fall for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to make sure you've got a lot of family activities and you turn your hotel a little more into a vacation type of spot for somebody who's 2-3 hours away to come to your hotel and be able to have a nice little 2-3 day trip. That's probably doable. So a lot of these cities where they're normally convention hotels, business hotels, most people are just going to stay on a Zoom, stay on a Skype. But what I say is convert your hotel to a family, more little quick little vacation type of thing. We can get away. And that's what I think what people will be more opting to do between now and the end of the year. Most big companies right now are playing no major events, no travel to 21. So you've got to go, you know, grin it, deal with it, and make your hotel attractive for people that are local to want to come when things kind of get back up and running.
What's interesting about that is, you know, everybody talks about the economy being down, and obviously there are a lot of job losses, and sure, a lot of people are feeling the sting, but there's also going to be something said for being cooped up at home for 3 or 4 months, and when those days come ahead of us where we are able to get out and about, people are going to take vacations because they just want to get away. So, you know, there will be opportunity. On that note, I want to talk about opportunity because you've built the sports memorabilia industry into a juggernaut with what you did with Steiner Sports. You now have got Collectible Exchange that you're running. I'm guessing the past couple of months, just like a lot of other businesses, when people are out of work and they're not going to conventions and they're trying to prioritize bills, that's got to put some immediate pressure on the memorabilia business. How have the last 2 or 3 months changed in that regard?
It's certainly not, you know, I think people are, you know, cutting back, no question. And obviously there's no sports, so there's nothing fueling that fire. But, you know, the memorabilia stuff and the collectibles, like for our company, Collectible Exchange, it's been good because you can buy and sell. So a lot of people are going through their inventories, realizing they have access, and they're going on our website, Collectible Exchange, and you can put your stuff up and sell it and kind of cash out and clean out that your wife's been killing you for all these signed things all over the place. So that's been going pretty well. I mean, without sports, it's not that little driver, the big game. You've had this Michael Jordan thing that's created a little Jordan craze on the internet, but he's really crazy expensive these days, and it's kind of halted a little bit of the potential opportunity that may have given because Michael is a little bit of a prima donna. And listen, it's Michael, and every player is entitled to do their thing. But, you know, the prices now that he raised, he's always been difficult. He's always been extremely pricey, which I've always think is understandable, but I'm not a fan of it because he has an opportunity to put something special in every kid's room, in every sports fan room, and he's made it so difficult, and I'm not sure what the end game to that is. But so now it's actually outrageous, and he basically it just takes away the pressure of him having to sign. I think he's barely even signing, and that just takes away from the business and the industry, which, you know, it's an important industry to keep the history of sports. I think collectibles, when you think about the importance of it, it keeps the history. It keeps people talking about yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, how many businesses do you talk about yesterday? I mean, we're not talking about Sony Walkmans, typewriters, parking meters, you know, rotary phones. I mean, nobody's talking about that crap. Only sports do you talk about what happened yesterday and 10 years ago and in detail and in rhythm. And I try to explain that to a lot of the players that, yes, it's a money grab and an opportunity, but it's also about your legacy and keeping sports connected to fans in even more and more different and a more interesting way. Some players get it, some don't. By the way, I forgot to mention this, but I am giving away my book free on Collectible Exchange. So if you go there, you get the book free. I think you just pay for the shipping. You have a choice of any one of my three books.
You mentioned Jordan. I want to ask you about that because, yeah, you know, when it comes to the media business, and you mentioned how, you know, he's been difficult, and obviously he's not going to do a ton of signings privately or out in public. That being said, other athletes have done a lot of work with you guys over the years, and, you know, that's an important market. But I'm curious how the last 60 to 90 days have been, because if everybody is forced to social distance, I guess you could still ship things and, you know, they can sign, yeah, and send back, right? But obviously that's going to cut down on public events, which when you talk about the history, so much for people is remembering that time they shook someone's hand or took a photo,
yeah,
and now that's cut out. How have you guys had to, you talked before about hotel and restaurant having to pivot. How have you guys had to pivot the last 60 to 90 days?
Well, the Collectible Exchange, and one of our platforms, UFC, is going to be fighting this weekend.
Right.
And we're doing an auction, and we just put up a whole bunch of new products. And so when you go to the UFC website, into the store, you'll be able to get a whole bunch of new collectibles. And it's doing really well. We just posted a lot of the stuff really last week. It's the first time I'm actually talking about it. So you'll see a ton of stuff on the UFC website. Now, on the Steiner Agency, which is my other company, what we've done, that's after I had three heart attacks and almost jumped off a bridge because we have so many things canceled. I mean, at some point already, like...
Well, don't be doing that anytime soon. We need you around.
You know, I didn't want to... Well, I kid around. I tell people, man, I was like a kangaroo on meth. I mean, I was jumping around. I mean, I didn't know what to do with myself because every half hour somebody was canceling. And, you know, we had a tremendous second quarter plan. I mean, I don't want to start talking too much about it because I'll start crying. But, you know, listen, it's life. And life is difficult, and it's not what happens. It's what you do with what happens. And the Steiner agencies, you know, I sat back, and when I get into these dilemmas, you know, kind of like when the Yankees lost to the Red Sox. I don't know if you remember that Game 7, 2004.
Oh, believe
you know,
me, I was producing that night for ESPN Radio. Yeah. I'll never forget it.
When I had like five heart attacks that night. Anyway, but, you know, while I went home sulking and depressed, I realized that the Red Sox fans were flipping, and they were going crazy. So I just turned my attention, and I pivoted, and I had one of my best year, you know, doing all the Red Sox collectibles. So when I look at the Steiner Agency, what I did is I took a step back. I've taken a lot of walks around the neighborhood. I said, you know something? In this day and age, with all the Zooms and all the Skypes, I'm going to start selling, and I'd started about a month ago, virtual talks. What happened is, like, old guys like me started getting comfortable with Zooms, started getting comfortable getting on a computer, having meetings on the computer so I can ask my people questions. You got to remember, like, a lot of CEOs and CMOs are a little older, you know, probably more in their 40s, 50s, not as tech savvy as your young, bright teenagers and 20-year-olds and some 30-year-olds. So what I found is that a lot of my contemporaries were starting to get on Zoom calls, whatever, and we all know there's only so many times you can get in front of your group and talk. So I started pitching them on, hey, why don't you bring an athlete in? Why don't you bring Brian Cashman in? Why don't you bring Magic Johnson in? Why don't you bring Lou Holtz in? And it's been phenomenal. It took a couple weeks to go out and really get people comfortable with it. And now, you know, I think we've done about 12 of them already. And I think we have about six or eight more, you know, that we're going to expedite in these next 2 weeks. And I think that's kind of what's going to happen now. All those appearances that we were going to do, now the players and celebrities that we're using could do it from their house. They could promote a product. So if you have a digital campaign and you're doing well, which there are a lot of companies that are doing well and they are doing a lot of digital stuff, this is a great opportunity for you because you can actually sign up players that are bored, celebrities that are a little more bored, not making the typical money they're making.
Right.
And they're more interested in doing stuff and they're more available. They're sitting home. I'm not saying they're desperate and I'm not saying they're doing it for free, but they're definitely doing for less than if you had the players show up at your office or have to actually do a whole PR tour and have to show up at a bunch of TV stations. And we're finding that a lot of the athletes and celebrities are much more flexible.
I want to continue on that because it's something interesting you brought up about how in having to pivot to the Zoom calls, and if you have people who general people can't get access to, of course, they're going to take an interest in connecting with Magic Johnson. But
yeah,
that being said, you mentioned in that statement how you would go on the PR tour and you would have to go to the TV and the radio station to get the promotion for it. And so right now, some of those things may be out there. You know, nobody's going to turn away talking to Magic Johnson on a radio station. But some of them are going to be cut down just based on the fact that you can't physically get to people. And sometimes that matters. As a marketer, when it comes to promoting some of those things, especially if there's going to be cost involved, and looking at how advertising right now has been drastically changed, how do you go about marketing? Let's say you have a Zoom call and you got Magic Johnson and Larry Bird, and there's a fee associated. How do you reach an audience right now to get them to sign up for it?
What's interesting is, you know, listen, a lot of these companies, they have two or three different initiatives. You know, so there's one, just to motivate and inspire internally with all your employees.
Yes.
Two, there's a focus just, I'm having trouble just getting my customers on the phone. You know, there's a money manager who's dealing with a high net worth clients, doesn't really have great news. How do I just get on the phone so we feel, and I can feel like we're doing something special? And it may be a Zoom call for 15, 20, 30 people. And then there's, you know, a media opportunity where you're setting up with specific media and opportunity to, and then there's just the actual athlete just posting and doing some stuff in their own living room to just say, hey, you know, I drink this water, I use this cream, I eat this food. And then if you're looking to get new customers, you know, you're doing it the old-fashioned way. As you go to your original customer base, you do customer base on Facebook, let's say, you're doing look-alike audiences, you're boosting it, and then you're targeting your audience. And you have a better shot, I think everyone knows, that if I take a video of Magic Johnson promoting something, the algorithms are going to be much, much higher than if I just do that video promoting that thing alone.
Yes.
Everyone knows that.
Yep.
And then, you know, and it just tends to have a life onto itself because you can target basketball fans, Magic Johnson fans, Laker fans,
mm-hmm.
you know, blah, blah, blah. And it's going to be a much easier, inexpensive way to go and go grab some new audiences. And actually, this may end up being a little more of a boost as opposed to some of the other traditional ways you advertise. So there's a lot of companies that are killing it on digital. I mean, when you talk to companies that have their web and have their digital stuff together, you're not hearing them complain as much.
You just gave a great outline for digital marketing, which is absolutely something everyone's got to be taking advantage of and thriving in. On the other hand, I work with a lot of media companies, radio and TV, and they're right now getting their brains beat in because a lot of advertising's on pause. A lot of it's getting reduced or eliminated. So the business person in you is called by a radio CEO right now, and they go, Brandon, I'm losing 50 to 60% of my revenue each month. How do I get to only 25%? What would you be telling them they should be doing right now? Because so many of them are just in rough shape because of this pandemic.
And I would say the radio stations that have their digital together have no worries. The ones that have been doing pods with their talent, and the ones that are trying to work really hard to do some theme-driven pods that can help us grow. Right now, we have time. Doesn't mean we should be sitting home all day and panicking. We should be sitting home all day to figure out how to grow and go. So if you can offer me real content that's exciting, that's interesting, that can help me grow. If I was a radio station, I'd be promoting to my audience, especially the ones that are digitally ready, cool theme ideas. And I'd get some of my advertisers to do some of these panels to talk about different products, different industries. I would be very aggressive with my talent, making sure that I'm doing interviews, but also posting online so I can watch them when it's convenient. I'm not sure everybody's sitting home listening to the radio as much as they are sitting home watching TV. But listen, at the end of the day, the radio stations that are doing better are the ones that are digitally ready. So now you've got to convert that. You've got to make that much more interesting so that people that are catching your radio stuff online want to go online and listen to your radio stuff.
So much of it is dependent on advertising. And you look at just using your business as an example, it's direct to consumer. People are going to pay you directly for the product that you can provide. And, you know, radio and TV haven't typically done that. They don't have subscription business for the most part. They don't sell merchandising the way, you know, you look at a Barstool Sports or the WWE, for example. They make a ton on merchandising. Yep. And yet, you know, they're at the mercy of events. Well, when there are no events to do, what do? There's no money to be made. Yeah. So
if I'm a radio station, I'm doing some special pods, getting the commissioners, getting general managers on the phone, and talking about their trials and tribulations as it relates to sports. I'm surprised that more teams aren't putting out more content as well, you know, to do stuff with their current players. You know, one of the things I'm working on with Mariano Rivera today is literally for him to go in his backyard and give a free pitching clinic to kids. Everybody can do something. This is a time for your brand where you need to include them in. You include them in on the good, you got to include them in on the bad, and sometimes even the ugly. But that makes people feel included and involved with your brand and your product. And you got to bring them on the inside. And you got to get them on a pivot to show them you're in it for the long haul and you're going to bring extra value. And value is something you could do for your customers that they can't do for themselves.
I think what you're touching on, like using the Rivera example, is unique, original content. If you're just going to have Brian Cashman on just to talk about the state of the Yankees, okay, it's probably going to bring in the diehard Yankee fan. But if you literally saw a video of Brian Cashman talking to you on what free agency's first 24 hours are like and how many phone calls he makes and things that you would never have access to, all of a sudden that becomes unique content. That becomes branded content that clients want to attach themselves to. And it's just got to be special.
We got to change one word in what you just said. It's got to be special, but it's got to be interactive.
Great point.
When I interact and I'm included, I'm involved, and I'm committed. There's so many things to do, but the problem is nobody wants to do anything unless it's bottom line driven.
Yeah.
But that's not really how you build brands and keep friends and keep customers. And the more you do that adds value, that makes people feel like they're included, in the long run, you'll be better off. But, you know, nobody wants to do all these little things because they're not profitable necessarily initially, but inevitably it keeps people involved and they will be profitable and they will extend your relationships with a lot of people when you keep them involved. Anytime you have absence and you're not doing much with people, you're at a potential loss of relationships and people.
I'm on a much smaller scale, but I can completely relate because when I started my business, it was 8 months before I saw a penny. I just did good content, put myself out there, provided value, and then ultimately when people see there's value, they ultimately want to attach themselves to it. But it takes time, and you can't just do it based on what's going to produce an immediate return on investment because it doesn't always come back right away. It takes time to build that. I do want to mention one thing that you brought up, Jordan, earlier in The Last Dance, and obviously that's something that everybody is talking about right now, and I think you have a unique perspective to weigh in on this. I don't know if you saw this past week's episodes, but there was this one scene where David Falk talks initially about wanting Michael Jordan to go with Nike, and Jordan at the time wanted to go to Adidas, but Converse was the shoe of the NBA, and ultimately, Jordan trusted his parents and Falk, went with Nike, and we know how the story goes. Nike became a global powerhouse afterwards. When you look at sports today, is there one young athlete out there that if you were looking to create a seismic shift, who's that one young face that when you look at the pro sports world, whether it's baseball, football, NBA, college, that you go, there's major money to be made with this guy?
It's a good question. I mean, it's really going to have to probably be an NBA player.
Is it Zion?
I don't think so, just because I think Zion has had his run, and it's unfortunate that the season ended early and he got hurt. But now what happens after your rookie year and you go through all that hype, now you got to now win. You got to do something above and beyond. Now he'll be very special. He'll be, you know, listen, Vince Carter was special. But, you know, there's a lot of guys that go through that kind of run. And the problem with team sports is, it's great when you're great and your team is great, but when your team's not great, which you can't control, you know, like you see a Mike Trout, you know what I'm saying? You see,
yeah, or Joe Burrow just got drafted number one, but he's with the Bengals and they haven't been good for a while.
Could it be somebody from UFC? Could McGregor get to even a higher level? Maybe. But, you know, listen, LeBron right now still is carrying a big torch, and you can't argue it. And then Brady still has a lot of marketing to be done, even though I think we all know about him. I love the quarterback in Buffalo.
Josh Allen?
I think he's the kind of guy that could probably take his team to a Super Bowl. I think he's got a lot of talent. I think he's really good. But, you know, listen, I think this break definitely breaks up a lot of things. And now it's hard to go and because you're competing against a lot of players just to get to that Kobe, Magic Johnson.
Yep. The only one I can make a case for right now would be Mahomes. And I think, you know, that's obviously just won a Super Bowl the year before he was the MVP. He's young. He's got a, you know, really positive attitude. He comes across well on TV. But I thought it was a really interesting question because if you had asked me 3 years ago, I'd probably have said Aaron Judge, you know, was booming and was going to be that guy. But then the injuries happen and you go, all right, well, can he put 162 together? Do the Yankees win a World Series? If they do, his star rises. If they don't, people say he's talented, but he's probably not that megastar. So it's interesting, just to something to keep our eyes on.
It's interesting, but it's very difficult to get on the kind of run because great anybody could have a great year or two, but having many great years in a row, at the same time having your team excel and get on the same page is really hard. That's what makes the Kobe's Kobe and Jordan's Jordan. Not only the winning and how good, not only how good they are, but the winning. And you got to be lucky enough to have a management, you know, team management that's willing to get the right pieces together. You got to avoid the injuries. You know, there's a lot of things that have to happen, which is why it's so hard to have greatness in football. Which is why I think people really misunderstand how great Tom Brady is. It's not only the winning, which is insane. But it's also, you know, he's not been injured much. I mean, he's been healthy. He doesn't overdo it on the off-the-field stuff, but he does enough. He keeps himself in incredible shape. I mean, he's special.
His name is Brandon Steiner, author, runs the Steiner Agency. Collectible Exchange is where you can find them online. Also on LinkedIn and Twitter at Brandon Steiner. Brandon, this was fun. I appreciate the time today. Continued success with the business.
Well, stay safe, stay healthy, everyone. Stay smart, and don't be afraid to pivot. You know, use this opportunity to do something great because at some point when this all ends, you'll be in a position to do something and execute it.